Good morning, everybody. Thanks for sticking around. So, what I'm going to share with you is a kind of summary for a number of things that my group has been doing in the past several years, and going to highlight kind of two contrasting landscapes in terms of soil moisture, general patterns, and preferential flow related dynamics. And I'd like to acknowledge my group members. The first two are the visiting scholars in my lab and three graduate students. All of them have contributed in different components of several different projects. So we initially worked on these two different landscapes in terms of many different things. Common to both is the soil moisture pattern. And so we thought, well, why not we do some comparisons to see similarities and differences and see what kind of information we can get out of comparing the two. So this is basically the objective of this presentation, to kind of contrast a steep-sloped forested landscape, which I'll give you a little bit of background in the next slide, and then a more gently sloping or rolling cropland in what we call the rich and varied physiographic region in central Pennsylvania. The highlights I'm going to share with you in this talk will be based on multiple years soil hydrological monitoring data. So if you look at Google Map, just to give you a sense of the setting we are at, this is the ridge in the ridge valley physiographic region and the valley. All right. So the two landscapes I'm talking about here is on two sides of this ridge. This is the Capitol Farm, the Penn State's agronomy farm, essentially. There'll be more loading landscape, generally more flat. And then on the other side, we have this forest catchment called Shear Hills Catchment, which is forested more steeper terrain. So here we go zooming in the final details in this forested catchment, a hotel, nicely defined in terms of topography. Slopes could be up to 48% in some places. All the dots that we show here, different colors, essentially are the monitoring locations that we have soil moisture data collected. Among those sites, we have also an array of sensors, like illustrated here, installed at different depths in order to understand processes, not just the patterns of soil moisture. So, and this slide basically gives you some background type of information about that particular forest catchment in terms of slope distribution, topographic wetness index, and the clay content, depth to bedrock, and many others that obviously I'm not going to bore you with all the rest. But just pointing out that these forest catchments, notice that this south-facing slope have thicker soils, thicker depth to bedrock, and higher clay content. In contrast, if you look at cropland, which is larger in terms of our study area, about 20 hectares, still have some loading topography. We exaggerate, of course, a little bit here. But we also have a bunch of monitoring stations throughout the landscape that we collect soil moisture data. Forget different thoughts, that just for our own checking of what's going on. Again, background information about the slope, topographic wetness index, clay content, depth to bedrock. Notice that, again, in this agriculture landscape, you have much shallower soils here, but deeper soils concentrated on this part, and then a little bit over this side of the landscape. And the clay content, in terms of the higher portion of the clay content in the landscape, is highlighted in blue here. So now let me show you some highlights of the comparison we came out of these exercises. Illustrated here are a series of interpolated maps for the Shear Hills forest catchment and then the Capitol Farm agricultural landscape. 3 days out of many that we have. We have actually movies to show this animations, but I don't have that with me. So just show you wet condition, more moist condition, dry condition, same for the agriculture landscape. Too small for you to see, but each of those maps that we generated also have the histograms and semivariograms and all that kind of basic information to understand what's going on in terms of spatial pattern. So what we came out of this kind of comparison is highlighted here. So most spatial correlation length was shorter in the forest steeper slope landscape, about 20 to 40 meter. In contrast, the most gently loading agriculture landscape, 100 to 150 meter, suggesting a stronger spatial variation within a shorter distance in forest catchment that was correlated to topography. And therefore, after comparing different things, that we came up with the decision how we interpret maps based on point data. For the forest catchment, regression kriging was optimum. In contrast, the agricultural landscape, we use ordinary kriging just as good as if you use the terrain as the covariant to do regression kriging. So we thought the ordinary kriging is good enough. Now, that reason, not just based on the data like that we have collected, but also based on some understanding of what may be the controls. So we found out an indicator that might seem to be a good guide for that kind of thinking. This shows the elevation over the total area size, the ratio of that. In the forest catchment, it's 6.8. It's about 5 times higher than that in the cropped land, 1.2. So that gives some kind of thinking behind why we have that kind of result. Now, looking at the whole landscape, soil moisture variability, on the y-axis, essentially, is the variance of the soil moisture data we collected throughout the landscape. On the x-axis, essentially, is the overall averaged moisture count throughout the landscape. All right, so overall wetness condition. So you can see that there are two trends in two different landscapes. In the forested landscape, you see the exponential increase of the variation as the catchment wets up. In the agricultural landscape, it's a more linear increase. So this basically is what we summarize here, that so moisture variation increase exponentially with increasing catchment-wide wetness across all the measurement depths that we have from the surface down to about 1 meter deep. But in the agriculture landscape, that's a linear relationship. We did some temporal stability analysis, and here are a couple of highlights to just illustrate the two contrasting landscapes' similarities or differences. Showing here is just mean relative difference in terms of the moisture content from all the monitoring sites that we compare over several years' time window. And the bigger the dots, the higher the variation. The color indicates the red for the drier than the overall average. The blue means wetter than the overall average. All right. So you can see that this forest catchment has larger dots, and either blue or red. In contrast, the agricultural landscape has smaller one. So that basically is summarized here. The mean relative difference of soil moisture is smaller in a capital farm, from minus 26.4 to 15.4 in a time window we had the data. But that for Shear Hills, it's about double on the wet, dry side, minus 45.7 up to 70.4%. So it's reflecting a larger variation in the forest catchment. Now, the other index that we look at in this temporal stability analysis is the standard deviation of the relative difference, indicating how variable over time that kind of drier or wetter than the overall average might be like. So again, the red dots indicate the drier than the overall average locations, and the blue one for the wetter than the overall average. The bigger the dots, the more variation over time it would suggest. So if you look at these two landscapes, you can see that the message is the temporal deviation of the relative mean difference is slightly larger in the agricultural landscape, 7.2 up to 34.6%, than that in the Shear Hills, which is smaller, slightly smaller, 5.1. percent up to 23.6%, and that has something to do with the management of the land. One of that is a crop management that strengthened the temporal variation of the soil moisture over time. All right, getting to the last point in his talk about the processes. I won't have time to go into a lot of details, but just highlight one aspect related to the pattern we saw, the underlying controls, and I'm focusing on preferential flow, which caused, obviously, spatial variation over the landscape in terms of soil moisture distribution. Remember earlier I showed you a profile with a radar sensors in a profile. That's how we base on that kind of data to infer preferential flow occurrence. So here's an example showing you one location in the forest catchment where we have moisture sensor at different depths, and at a given time, like this rainstorm hit the ground, and how different sensors in different locations or different depths respond to the rainstorm. So this particular one, just want to show that when you have a sensor like here at about 1 meter deep, responded to this particular rainstorm at this particular time earlier than the sensor about 6 centimeter or 1/2 meter above it, which is least 135 centimeter at this time about an hour earlier, that's indication of a preferential flow, because the classical understanding of water flow from the rain will be sequential from the top to the bottom. But here's the reversed or out of sequence response. Whenever that occurrence is observed, we consider that a preferential flow, either the vertical short-circuiting through loop channel or macropole, or lateral flow through surrounding areas. Regardless of mechanism, that is the preferential flow phenomenon that we recorded. All right? So based on that kind of definition of preferential flow, we summarized three years data from the forest landscape and 2 years in the agriculture landscape, because of time that we installed the sensors was different. The message is summarized here. The preferential flow was common in both landscapes. Okay, the chart for both landscape didn't label well. Shell Hills catchment and the Capital Farm. All right, showing you the frequency of the preferential occurrence over all the rainstorm events that we monitored. Like in this forest catchment, we have a total of 180 events that we analyzed. And so out of that, about 50%, roughly, obviously, that rainstorms, we observe preferential flow somewhere in the catchment. So here are all the monitoring locations. We have sensor arrays in the profile. In contrast, in the agricultural landscape, they do have preferential flow occurrence, as you can see, but the percentage-wise is about half less. Again, I'm saying in a very general way, just to give you a message about the differences and the similarities. All right? And obviously, we are curious why, what's controlling that kind of differences. And again, a very brief summary here in terms of the main controls, depending on the landscape locations we are talking about. And this is particularly evident in the forest catchment, all right? In a higher portion of the landscape or ridge tops, in the drier conditions or dry seasons, the rainstorm actually tend to generate more preferential flow. That has, in that particular landscape, have a lot to do with hydrophobicity. But in the lower portion of the landscape, the weather condition actually tends to see more preferential flow occurrence, because they depend on the water coming from the upslope area to show up in terms of the out-of-sequence response of the sensor to the rainfall input. Actually, I'm done. Oh, okay. So you're talking about the variation.
I'm not sure.
Oh, that the other bit. Okay, keep going back. Yeah. Yeah, this one, right? So what's your question again? Okay, you're asking why is that way. Okay, I think this has a lot to do with the topographic control. And so in the Shell Hills catchment, we have the ratio of elevation change over the total area of 6.8, about five times than that in the Capital Farm agricultural landscape. And so that's reflected in these kind of both landscape have topographic variation, and therefore you see this kind of change of variation of soil moisture as the landscape wets up. But the degree of that increase is obviously quicker and stronger in the forested landscape because of the steeper gradient of topography. All right, and as the catchment wets up, the water tends to concentrate in the wet spots in the catchment, which is a fraction of the total area, and therefore you see the variance being increasing. All right.
More questions?
Yes, Ty. You might another talk. I talked about exactly that point, but I'm not showing up here in terms of this particular talk. Yeah, right. There are two models in the literature. Look at it. This is one type of model. The other one shows kind of concave pattern going up and down. And that obviously have a lot of factors behind it. And one of that could be if you have flat landscape, you get more water into the landscape. The water spreads out more evenly. And so, if our landscape being flat, then we will expect the topographic impact being not kind of increasing trend, but rather it just, as catchment wets up, it will be flattened out, so it will drop. Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.